Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Happy Advent. Here we are at this season of the beginning of the church year. We're beginning that Paschal journey, the pilgrimage of the people of God brought by the church through the Paschal mystery, the life of Jesus, from his birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension to the Father in heaven and establishing his kingdom on the earth. So the season of Advent is a time of watching and waiting. It's a time of preparing for the celebration of the incarnation of Jesus. But as was the practice, particularly of the early church, it was a time of celebrating and awaiting the second coming of Jesus. So the church takes up, you can see it in the readings that we get through this season. You get both, you know, we get the anticipation, obviously, of the incarnation, but the final return of the Lord is also there. And so it reminds me of what the Catechism describes. You know, it said the church exists essentially between the two comings of Jesus. The scripture reveals the same thing. He came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life for the sake of the sins of the world, for the salvation of the human race. But he'll come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He came in mercy. He's coming again in judgment. And his judgment is an act of mercy as well, but it's a severe mercy. And this is such an urgent time. This is the time of the church, when the church goes forth in the world, conscious of the salvation, the great gift being offered by our Lord to be reconciled to God and to be prepared to extend the kingdom of God throughout the earth, to use our time, our talent, our treasure, our prayers. Wherever we are in life, we can participate. Even if we're shut-ins, we can participate in this mission of our King, and we can anticipate through our intercession, through the sacrifices we offer, that the Lord will use those to help build his kingdom as we wait and watch. Those are two words that we're going to hear quite a bit about in this season of Advent. Well, today is the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, and I want to take a look at the first reading from Romans chapter 10, partly because Advent has some beautiful readings that, you know, reveal the nature of Jesus the Messiah in his greatness and his glory and his majesty. Whenever we're thinking about the return of the Lord, we're thinking about eternal things and his eternal reign, his authority, his majesty, and his glory. And it's important for us to be able to see that and to live with that kind of eternal perspective. And to remember that despite the shaking that goes on in the earth, and it will go on, brothers and sisters, to a greater or lesser degree throughout human history, we inhabit a fallen world. This is not heaven. Thanks be to God, this is not heaven and what heaven feels like and is experienced. But it's a battlefield. That's clearly what Jesus said. That's clearly what the apostles taught. John, the beloved apostle, said the reason the Son of Man came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to disarm the principalities and powers that are present in this world. And we know that the ultimate victory over the prince of darkness and his work in this present day is ultimately been overcome. But we have these battles and skirmishes that we need to fight. And it's important for us to see the Lord and not to put our hope in the wrong thing or to fear the wrong thing. It's very important for us to not be gripped by the world and its fear of men, and instead be filled with a healthy fear of the Lord. And that healthy fear of the Lord, as we see the Lord, we see ourselves in relationship to him and his awesome power and his glory and majesty. And then we see the object of our hope. The object of our hope is not just kind of positive thinking about the future. Christian hope is rooted in the faith and the knowledge of who Christ is and the victory he has won, and our hope is focused on a person, someone who actually has the power to bring about the peace that we desire, you know, the ultimate contentment, as the book of Revelation said, the reality of the kingdom of God where there's no more tears, there's no more crying, there's no more fear, there's no more darkness, there's no more sin. Only one person can bring that about. And we have to be careful, friends, especially in this political turmoil that we continue to live in. It's really clear. It's important to have a certain kind of right passion and sometimes even a righteous anger under, as Jesus said, he's meek and he's humble of heart. Meekness is not being wimpy or being easily rolled over. Meekness is the powers that were given are under the direction of the commandments of the Lord, that we move in this world in a way that pleases the Lord, and whatever powers we have, the energy of our personality, our will, no matter when we experience the normal human realities of anger, when we see injustice, that's a really good thing to have happen. God put that in us, but there's two different ways that we can handle it. Jesus says, Scripture says, be angry, but do not sin, right? And righteous anger is something that clearly was expressed in Jesus's life and life of the apostles and others and saints throughout history. And so what righteous anger is, it's toward an object of helping bring about justice, but it's done in a way that is under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It keeps the commandments of love of God and love of neighbor clearly in focus, and we walk in humility in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's so important for us to see that, and for us to be able to do that requires faith, and faith needs to be something that's alive. It's not just a focus on a set of truths that we consent to, which is important, but it's also a radical abandoning of our lives and trust to a person. Now, I saw a study or heard a study recently, an annual study that's done by, maybe it's every other year, but it's an organization called the Ligonier, and it's called the State of Theology. And they did this study here in 2020. And a couple of things that caught my eye, a variety of different people are talking about this, because it's, again, it's an indicator, an imperfect, but nonetheless an indicator of where Catholic faith and belief are today, Christian belief in general. But there are a couple of questions that the answers to are very striking. One of the questions asked was, is Jesus the first and the greatest being created by God? They had questions like agree, strongly agree, disagree, that kind of thing. Well, 66% of Catholics that were polled, this is a very large study, believe that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. It's not really surprising to me now. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He's begotten of God. He's not a creature like you or me. He's literally God. And the second one was that Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. 57% of Catholics polled agreed with that. They said, yeah, Jesus is a great teacher, but he's not God. And so here we are in this beginning this church year, and the church, we just came off a few weeks of focusing on the kingship, the victory, the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is absolutely, utterly unique. He's the God-man, and all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. So to say that Jesus is a great teacher, but not God, is to miss the point about Jesus, is to miss his actual identity. And if we miss his actual identity, that means we don't see him as he is. And if we don't see him as Lord and we don't live that way, it's going to radically change our lives. I mean, the one who believes and the one who hopes lives differently. And one of the reasons why so many of the baptized today in the world live no differently than people who don't even believe in Christ is because they have the wrong attitude about, they have the wrong mind, the wrong attitude, the wrong belief in who Jesus is. And as a result, it affects how they look at the world and how they look at reality. And they lose in that the grounding and then what comes with the grounding in truth, but also the power that comes through faith. So today's reading, Romans 10, chapter 9, verse 18, is typical of how the scriptures understand and communicate the life of Jesus. I'll read it to you. This is St. Paul. And this is in honor of the feast of St. Andrew. And this is an apostolic mind. This is how the apostles thought, how the apostles lived and understood. It says, brothers and sisters, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, enriching all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's the Savior of the human race. And why is he the Savior? Why is he the only Savior? As St. Peter will say in the Acts of the Apostles, there's no other name under heaven by which anybody can be saved. Any person can be saved. And what does to be saved means? It means to be saved from hell for heaven. It's to be brought from a place of hopelessness and eternal separation from God under the dominion of the enemy and brought into the family of God. How does that happen? It happens by the death of Jesus on the cross, his perfect sacrifice. And why is that a perfect sacrifice? Because he's the God-man. He's totally without sin. There's no other good teacher on the earth that was ever without sin. He was a perfect, sinless offering, and he perfectly offered his life in love to the Father and became a sacrifice for us. And his blood, his precious pure blood, cleanses us from sin. And it says the Father raised up his faithful Son and now has seated him at the right hand in heaven. And all power and authority belong to Jesus. The destiny of human history belongs to Christ. Every human being that ever lived appears before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. He will give his judgment, because the whole truth about your heart and mind is going to be revealed before the eyes of him to whom Paul says we must all render an account. These are themes that are very key for the season of Advent. Like right from the beginning, we not only anticipate Jesus is coming, but we get ready, we get clear about who it is that we're waiting for. And the fact that 66% of Catholics believe that Jesus was created by God totally misses the point. 57% say that he's a great teacher, but not God. That's to directly deny the faith. And it gives you a sense about how weak the formation and the teaching has been. And if you don't know, as Paul says here, if you don't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you won't be saved. But if you do that, you will. Paul tells us in another place that no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. We get the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism. We're brought in baptism from death to life. We literally are. We begin to share in what life? The Christ life, the life that's in Christ. Christianity, friends, is a new life. It's a participation in the life of God that gives us a future beyond death. That's what Jesus brings. He brings the revelation of the Father, the revelation of the truth about God, the revelation of the truth about man and sin and a fallen world, and he makes a way with his life for the salvation of the whole human race. So to reduce him to a great teacher is to literally miss the point of who he is. It's not Christianity and it's not Catholicism. He's so much more than that. And that's the pressure of the world. The devil wants to reduce our understanding of who Jesus is, to flatten him instead of glorifying and exalting him for who he actually is. So let us together today, brothers and sisters, let's confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And in the Holy Spirit helps us understand he's Lord means his authority over us and over everything. It belongs to Jesus, and our destiny is in his hands, and we delight in that. So we confess it today, Father, that Jesus is Lord. And we believe in our hearts that you, Father, have raised him from the dead, and our belief in him, the gift of salvation, comes through him and through him alone. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.